10.
Da 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 da. Hey yo, I'm Addy. Da 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 da. Here we go. Oh,
that's how we're opening now.
Hey yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey yo, I'm Addy.
Hey yo, I'm Mo, and I actually thought your opening, if you were gonna sing Fandango's song, would be worse.
Did you?
More insulting.
I banged Mo's mom. I banged Mo's mom. I got crabs from Mo's mama, and it really itched.
Yeah, kind of like that.
Oh.
So here we are.
No, I won't do that.
Oh, no. Well, that's good. Too much class. Too much. The old Addy.
Not an ass. The old Addy would have. 2012 Addy would have.
The 2013 Addy, who is no longer an asshole,
does not kiss her mom and tell about it.
No.
No.
Or bang her.
Well, that I might do.
All right, so here we are. We're on Skype doing a podcast. Yes. This time. I have right now on in the background, we have on both of us watching Impact Wrestling, because this is one of their biggest shows in a while. This is their first official kind of Night of the Champions type or Clash of the Champions type show. The first time they're kind of doing it quite like this. So
Night of the Clashes.
Yeah. So and it's been the better product over for the majority of the last month or so.
Yeah. Here.
So we do have that out in the background in case anything big happens. But
that said, it's been the better product. That said, Chavo Guerrero is in the ring right now.
Yeah, but so is Bobby Roode and Austin Aries. So
it's true.
So anyway, so yeah, we do have that. We'll talk about it if anything important does occur, anything noteworthy. But obviously, wrestling this week kind of revolved around Raw, because we left WrestleMania. You were kind of pretty down on the idea that they'd do any good booking the next night, and then they had a show that was like 10 times better than WrestleMania.
I don't know if they did any better booking necessarily, though.
Oh, I think they did.
They did some.
I think they did.
I mean,
the bar had been set pretty goddamn low, though.
Well, this is true. This is true. From not booking anything to booking stuff. But, I mean, I think the day really began with the news, or the night really began with the news that The Rock was not at Raw.
No. What happened?
Well, when in the match, about 15 minutes left in the match at WrestleMania, taking the first attitude adjustment, he basically got a hernia, tore his hip and abdominal muscles, and continued to wrestle to the point where the abdominal muscle was torn right off.
Mm-hmm. Right above the groin, basically the abdominal.
Yeah.
Abdominal muscles torn right above the groin.
Yeah.
So he was kind of like me, because of course on a Sunday when we recorded our WrestleMania post game show, I also was injured because I had a concussion, and it actually was a concussion verified after 7 hours in the hospital thanks to that wonderful Brock Lesnar loving Canadian healthcare. Yes. But like me, The Rock really just gutted it out and showed just what a man he was, like me, just like what a hero to the masses.
The thing with The Rock, the thing was with The Rock's injury, though, is that it hindered his performance.
Honest to God, I already respected The Rock a lot.
Call me Addy.
I already respected Dwayne Johnson a lot.
A lot.
But, that's – you say it hindered his performance. I mean, we had no idea during the match. We never talked about it. It probably was the second best match of the night. Had a great finishing sequence. He did all that injured. I got to go back and watch the match again now that I know about where he got hurt. But, yeah, I mean, I already had tremendous respect for him. But honest to God, to have that performance on that stage in that situation, just – seriously, my hat is off to him. A very remarkable, remarkable. I think people, I know some people, you know, they're chanting bullshit and everything at Raw the next night because he wasn't there. But yeah. I mean, what else could you ask of him?
Let's talk about those cock-sucking motherfucking dick lickers that don't have the common sense that this piece of paper that I'm looking at has, that are just fucking retarded little morons. What is The Rock? The Rock is a fucking movie star.
Yeah.
The Rock comes back and wrestles because he would like to. The Rock is not a wrestler. The Rock does not owe anybody anything. And The Rock wants to play Hercules like a motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
The Rock's dream is to put the full Nelson on someone. And he wants to do that. And the fact is that if he continues to wrestle, like, this may be it for him.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, you talk about what happened. He tore the muscle right off his abdominals.
Yeah, and the muscle, a severe hernia.
Yeah, and what happened? How do you tear muscles? You tear muscles largely from being a steroid abuser. And that's exactly what The Rock looks like right now. And if he's going to keep that frame up to continue these movies, he's not going to be able to wrestle.
Or just to continue to keep this frame up to do these, well, to frankly, to be a wrestler. Because he is a 40-year-old, what is he, 41? He's 41, I believe.
Something like that, yeah. But, I mean, the thing is at this point, he probably can't go into the ring and do these things anymore. And shouldn't. And
you know what? This was always the fear of his management. This is why for years they kept him away from it. And this is why they told when he wanted to come back, he was told by them he shouldn't. I mean, this was always his management team's greatest fear come true. And so now he's all of a sudden, he's got to look at them and say, God, I want to do this movie, but if I do it, I'm going to be hurt or we postpone the movie or I lose the movie. And this is exactly what they're going to say to him. See, he never should have done it in the first place. And he sure as hell shouldn't go back and do it now. And considering, like I say, just this, I mean, I have tremendous respect. And now those people, I don't know that they fully understood the people at the arena that night, just how severely injured he was. And I think the WWE could have done a better job of kind of stating it. I think they did a pretty poor job. The announcers mentioned it. Honest to God, a 15-second tout from The Rock in his hotel room explaining, just saying, just saying something along the effect of early in the match, I tore the abdominal muscle right off the bone. And I went another 15 minutes because I love you. I love the WWE. And thank you. That's it. If he had done that and they played that, that arena wouldn't be chanting bullshit and booing him.
Some of them would, but But I think that's just it. It isn't so much about The Rock, and I mean, but I still hear people talking about it now that they know he's hurt or that he was hurt. It's like, oh well, he couldn't have come and done. I mean, no, I mean, he doesn't owe anybody anything. He just, you know, it is what it is. You need to go to the doctor and
I don't think those people really understand how severe this injury is.
No, because they're retards.
How painful it is.
They're stupid.
Yeah.
The bottom line is, if you're complaining about
podcast,
I love chips.
Who eats on a podcast?
Eric Estrada. But if you those motorcycles,
you could mute it. You could mute and eat.
Yeah, I could. I could. I'm not going to. So we have to eat carrots.
This is what I have to deal with, folks.
Yeah. No, take a drink. What are you drinking there?
You can't hear that.
Oh, sure I could.
Doesn't sound anything like a fucking chip.
It's because you're not drinking chips, are you? Fuck it.
Anyways, you know, so like I say, I had The Rock was just like me, and he was, because he had a concussion. I had a concussion. I probably like a few other guys. Like, for instance, I'm a little like Chris Benoit.
Yeah, you are a little bit like Chris Benoit.
Both of us are very well hung.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Talking about Daniel, right?
Oh, Jesus. Go ahead and take a perfectly good joke and go to the cellar, you fucking nut.
Who's selling?
Well, not Triple H.
The only thing you have in common with The Rock is you're both probably about 280 pounds. But they didn't have Brock on the show. I mean, the angle essentially was Rock and Brock was to build for The Rock and Brock. Similar thing we talked about last year to do for Taker and Brock.
Yeah.
Was going to be a similar situation for Rock and Brock to lead to next year's main. And there's a couple of reasons that they didn't use Brock. He's got the new contract. He's got limited dates, and they didn't want to just throw him out there. To use them kind of, you know, for a last-minute deal. And they want to get sort of their dates, you know, set for him. The other reason that they didn't use Brock was because he was currently doing a Kimura and couldn't be reached.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Was that also why Triple H wasn't on the show?
No, that's because he's stupid.
Oh. Well, he was on SmackDown.
Triple H was busy recovering from the dry ice, third-degree burns that he received on his chest. We wondered what that Pat Patterson-esque powder was when he'd come out at WrestleMania. It was actually dry ice that was creating the smoke for that Castle Grayskull entrance that Triple H had. I guess it did backfire or shot this dry ice right on him, and he's got third-degree burns on his chest.
Wow. So what was the red marks that were on Lesnar then?
That was from going down on people.
Lesnar knocked out 90 seconds into the match.
Yes.
Again, another, really, I mean, this is where, this is similar. What's that? Go ahead.
That's a WrestleMania tradition.
Yeah.
Brock Lesnar getting knocked out at matches.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But in this one, he was knocked out right away at the beginning, and he was out of it. And Triple H had to tell him what to do. Had to, actually, I think he did a pretty good job carrying him. Again, I didn't realize that he was knocked out from the knee there. I think a good job. It just wasn't a great match. But, you know.
Nope, it wasn't. It was not. Although that may explain why.
It's not a terrible match either. Like I said, I didn't dislike it as much as you.
That explains maybe why they did 17 Kimuras, because Brock couldn't remember doing the last one.
That's possible. Well, no, it was just to set this. The Kimuras were just set up the point where, you know, they were to set up the DDT on the stairs. I mean, it was all in a.
That's right. We've already talked about WrestleMania,
exactly,
though.
Exactly.
So we'll move on to Raw, which opened with John Cena.
Who?
And, one of the champ.
Ah, was he there?
And one of my favorite lines he's ever done, actually, was when he was talking about dancing.
That was pretty funny.
I did laugh about that. He's like, I do a little kick.
The whole crowd did. The crowd actually cheered him for half a second because they're booing the shit out of him, right?
He's like, how about I do a little heel turn? And I was like, oh, fuck, that's good.
Yeah, that was funny. That was funny. Whoever came up with that line for him, good job.
Yeah, very good job. And it's just a matter of and then Mark Henry comes out and they do the whole, you know, as we had thought, Mark Henry beat down here. And sorry, just to chime in, Chavo and Hernandez have won the tag titles as expected.
Yeah, no, because otherwise they were going to not be able to team together. Hopefully they won't hold it long, even though, because I like Rude and Aries as a team. But there are advantages that those guys could also be singles guys, whereas Chavo and Hernandez can't really. I mean, they're best served in the tag team division.
Yeah, and I mean, bad influence. I mean, there's more heel teams to take on Chavo than there are babyface teams to take on, you know, Rude and Aries. So, and you're right. So, but in getting to with Cena, they did the Cena Mark Henry deal, and that was just to kind of lead to the main event of what we presume is a Ryback heel turn. It was hard to tell for two reasons. Of course, the crowd being very anti-Cena, cheering anytime anybody hits Cena, and the announcers suck.
Well, there is that. The announcers suck, but... Well, especially Jerry Lawler, but the announcers suck. But you know what? I don't know that I necessarily felt like it came across like a heel turn, because they knew. I mean, I think The thing is that Mark Henry was booed the night before. Mark Henry was cheered the night before and Ryback was booed. But, I mean, they had to have a sense by the time that they were pulling this off that thanks to the way that when Mark Henry confronted John Cena early on, that there was sort of a feed me more chant, that he would be over as a babyface on that night. And he certainly was. So he was over as a babyface regardless of anything else happening. So,
it is a Ryback turn. This turn planned. That's why this turn has been planned for a while. This turn has actually been planned since January and was the reason that Cena and Ryback were the last two in the Royal Rumble.
Yeah. And the other thing about it is that it makes sense as to why he would be losing all the time then, because you know, it doesn't matter if he's turning and getting his heat back that way.
So that, and they did have some tense moments as part of the Super Dicks as well.
That's true.
So Ryback's a heel, Cena's first challenger.
Isn't it going to be a three man?
I don't know, but I can't wait.
I think we're looking at a three-man at Extreme Rules, because Henry did pin Ryback, and because he did lose by count out, and he was about to get his heat back on Cena as well before Ryback showed up. So
good. No, and I mean, it's a top program. I can't wait to stream it.
Really?
Yeah. No, actually, I probably can wait.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, so
it's not. I don't know if I necessarily consider it a top promo or program, because truthfully, it feels like nothing could be a top program. It's about the WWE as a whole, and like I say, it's more about that. And as a whole, Monday night was a good show.
Yes, and as a whole, your mom is good.
A good show.
Yeah. Well, it's the big show. But, I'm just... Henry and Cena and the Ryback had their little deal. I'm trying to think, what was next on Raw?
I don't know. I don't really want to talk about a segment by segment like that.
No, I'm just trying to think, because it was lots. There was stuff, right? And that's what I was trying to figure out. Is I didn't want to miss anything. That's why I was kind of trying to. I don't want to say run down it segment by segment. I didn't want to miss anything. Let's talk about the Sheamus Randy Orton match then.
Sure.
That was a great match.
That was when I'm watching it, reminiscent of WrestleMania 20, Lesnar and Goldberg.
Yes.
That's what that was. If you've never seen that infamous match, the crowd turned on the guys and didn't give a shit about them. And in this one, the crowd turned on the guys and didn't give a shit about them. The best part was when Big Show came out and broke up the match, and they started chanting, "Thank you, Big Show." And the King was like, "They're just chanting, 'Thank you, Big Show?'" It was strange. And I thought the funny thing is, I mean, Orton was pissed. Sheamus was just perplexed. And the funny thing about it to me was, I thought they were actually having a pretty goddamn good match as far as the work rate and the psychology of it. So
I loved the promo leading into it, where Randy Orton, in mid-sentence, stops, walks around for a bit, walks right up to Sheamus and goes, "What's my fucking line?"
Did he say that?
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember seeing that.
Oh, yeah. He walked right up to him and said, "What's my fucking line?" And that's when he said, "Let's ask the people." Right? And that's
Was it that audible?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's hilarious. It's on YouTube right now. hilarious.
Now that's good.
But, the thing was, the crowd chanting for RVD, for Randy Savage. I mean, when he started chanting JBL, and they're like, "Are they chanting JBL?" And he's like, "This is nuts." He's like, "It's not nuts. These people are brilliant." These are brilliant people. And then he started chanting for the King. And then I think that's what made it more than Rock or Brock and Goldberg, was that the announcers were playing along with the crowd. They're like, "What are they chanting now?"
That's great, because you know what? If we have the exact same reaction here in Calgary in a couple of weeks when they do a Raw, it'll be Bizarro Land. I mean, well, I think same reaction. It'll be bizarre.
Waller
did recall it that one time. He did say, "Are we in Bizarre Land?"
We said, "Are we in Canada?"
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, are we in Canada?
So, but I mean, yeah, it's. I think WWE. I mean, clearly from from Michael Cole's reaction is the WWE was expecting this.
Yeah.
Vince wasn't pissed about it.
Well, no, it's the exact same reaction as they were getting the year before in Miami. You know, when Daniel Bryan was still getting the yes chance and the C chance were happening for Alberto Del Rio. And it was the exact same crowd. So this year they knew it was coming, and this year they handled it better.
Yes.
Whereas they were pissed the year before.
Yeah, and I mean, all the people they chanted for. And then, the thank you, Big Show, and whatnot. It was definitely a highlight. And then got to the point where I think the crowd at one point was chanting, "We are awesome." And then we got to the next match, which brought out Fandango.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the sing-along with Fandango.
Well, that actually was – that wasn't the next match because this all happened after the title change. Yeah.
Well, the Fandango, yeah. I mean, everything happened
– Okay, let's talk about Fandango, though.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and the thing with Fandango, and this was a part that really kind of – the way that it was explained to me was that it was a very heavily European crowd on Raw.
Mm-hmm.
And that they were, I don't want to call them bored, but European crowds will entertain themselves. I mean, watch, soccer, football, whatever you want to call it, games that are, the fucking score is 1-0. The crowd needs to entertain themselves during.
You can have a great 1-0 soccer game, but if for those of us smart enough to understand the sport, which eliminates you. But. No, the thing is this was a crowd that was doing the wave, which you don't do in North America. Hasn't been done, I think, in 20 years. And they were chanting, right. Ole, ole, ole. So, yeah, I mean, and you're not in Montreal, which is the only city in Canada or in North America I can think of that has chanted that. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, it's a European crowd.
Sure. They did a wave at that SummerSlam for that Undertaker-JBL match in Toronto.
Oh, did they?
And Taker was pissed. But
oh, that's right. He was. I remember that.
I mean... Yeah, but I mean, so a very heavily European crowd. And that's the singing and a lot of what they do there was that. And now that plays off the fact that going back to the UK now is that they're getting there's online campaigns to get Fandango's theme song.
Yeah, it's already dropped off. I mean, it already peaked. So. It was a little thing, but I mean, again, it wasn't about. But that's not about Fandango being over or Vince McMahon being right that this guy's going to be money and being a big fan of him. It was just about it's something fun to do because it's something because it's something that nobody expects. Like you know what I mean? It's just fun. It's not fun to do. It's fun to fuck around sometimes. And that's all it is.
Yeah, and that part hasn't necessarily peaked. Because it's based on sales, this UK top 40. You know, the fact that it was sitting at number 11 or whatever or on the iTunes doesn't necessarily mean it was based on sales. It was actually number 50 based on sales, and it actually been – the sales have been continuously rising. So even though it was showing as 11 in terms of sales, and so that's – number 40 is what it's got to reach in sales apparently by Saturday for it to show. So, I mean – who knows? But it is, like you said, it's just the nice part for Fandango in all of this is that WWE is heading to Europe in a couple of weeks to be doing Raws and SmackDowns and on a European tour.
Yeah, well, and maybe he'll get a good reaction, but I really think that – I think Fandango's a two-week flash in the pan. Like, in fact, while people were chanting the song, and that was funny, especially, I think it was Michael Cole, who was like, guys, listen to what they're doing now. I was like, are they chanting his theme song? Because that was new. I mean, that was different. But that said, I mean, some people tried to get the chant and the singing of the song going the next night at SmackDown and the tapings, apparently. And
what they had said
during his match, a little bit happened, but...
The reason being is, again, because all of that happened in New York. SmackDown goes to Boston. The European contingent, for the most part, had gone home.
Yeah.
And didn't carry over. And so it was a little bit of a different crowd. But, I mean, the reality is, as I said, I mean, what – yeah, Fandango, like you said, flash in the pan. It's going to give him a couple of flashy weeks, though, because he's going to probably be over in the UK.
He'll be over in the UK. Is that where one of the places they're taping?
Yeah, that's I think both places where they're taping actually is. But so you know that'll give him a little bit of life leading into whatever May, right? And then who knows? But another Englishman, Wade Barrett, regaining the Intercontinental Championship in what I thought was the best match on Raw.
It was a very strong match, and again, the Miz, his psychology as a babyface has improved. But still, I think a lot of this is on Barrett. He comes across as so physical. This is a really strong match, and it really shows you that the night before in the pregame show, number one, they only gave them 4 minutes, and then I think that match went 17 minutes on Raw, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Through a commercial break and everything. And so as soon as you saw that, you're like, oh, we're actually getting a chance to see what these guys could do. The big thing is, why give it to Miz and then take it off of him again right away? And I guess it was just something they were trying to do to spark the WrestleMania crowd. Because I think they all know at this point that Miz shouldn't be beating Wade Barrett.
And I think, just things in terms of, if you're trying to spark last-minute buys, you know, that kind of thing. Like, oh, title change, get people excited. So, I mean, that I'm sure was the philosophy, I guess, behind it, right? So
I'm sure they'll get one more match between the two of them probably at the pay-per-view, and I'm fine with that now.
That's fine.
SmackDown, Wade Barrett defends the title against Santino.
Yes, yes, and he beat him.
If there was a European crowd, then why didn't Santino get a bigger reaction?
Because it was Zack Ryder, Santino, and who was the other fucker?
R-Truth.
Truth, yeah, against 3MB. So everybody needs to
piss. Talk about a guy whose stock has fallen from a year ago. R-Truth.
Everybody needs to piss.
That's true.
So,
everybody does.
But then we had Alberto Del Rio and Jack Swagger and Zeb Coulter in a handicap match. I'd point out that it's a handicap match because you'd never actually know it watching the match. But
No, you wouldn't. No.
My favorite chant up to that point was when they were chanting at Zeb, use your mustache. Which I enjoyed.
But it does kind of make sense, though, also, though. I mean, not only was – I mean, Alberto Del Rio and Jack Swagger weren't really over at WrestleMania or on this night. I mean, if this was a European crowd at WrestleMania, which is what it sounds like to a large degree, as well as a European crowd at especially at Raw. I mean, why the hell would they be into this? The real American versus the Mexican and the border wars and all this bullshit. I mean, it had no chance to get over in front of the crowd they were in.
That's what you got. But, and I mean, of course, the big news there is we get the Dolph Ziggler cash in. Crowd super hot for it. Probably one of the consistently best, I shouldn't say consistently, but one of the best moments in WWE is that cash-in spot.
Yeah.
And it was no different
here. I don't think it's ever been better than this. Maybe the first time Edge did it.
I think that was the first time. Even the second time Edge did it was pretty good. As well, beating The Undertaker, I think it was, or Mark Henry. I don't remember who, but, I mean, it was The Undertaker. Mm-hmm. Both times Edge did it, have been good. The CM Punk against Jeff Hardy after the Jeff Hardy
Edge. Yeah, it was good because it was a heel turn, which we had never seen. And, you know, the first CM Punk one was good because...
was good because it was CM Punk.
Yeah, and because at the time they hadn't really established that the guy who gets the belt always gets the belt in, as well as we hadn't established that CM Punk would do such a heel thing again, but he was doing it against a heel, so it was unexpected. But it was still such a heel move.
And it was, but CM Punk also wasn't up on the card.
No, and it was a baby face who had it and didn't really think much of it. These were good, but I just think as far as as far as the way the crowd reacted, I mean, it was big when Edge did it the first time. It's big every time. But this was something else.
Really?
Yeah, this was very similar to when Jay Briscoe wins the world title there in ROH, and the crowd is chanting, "You deserve it." This was a "you deserve it" reaction. Was it you got? Uh-huh.
Yeah. Now for the crowd wanted to see Dolph win it. There was a combination. I think why a lot of the cash-ins are so great is because people want to see a title change first off, and then in this case, Dolph Ziggler. People wanted to see Dolph Ziggler with this belt as well. So
well, I mean,
we'll see.
Yeah, like I say, it's a "you deserve it" thing. I mean, Dolph Ziggler, his character can be a heel, but the real Dolph Ziggler is an underdog. People would like to think that when they go to work, if they work really, really hard and don't bitch and always do what's asked of them, that they would be rewarded by their boss. And
they won't.
But they like to think that. And so this comes down to just the psychology of that, of 90% of people out there are hardworking people wanting to get ahead and wishing to be recognized. And he represents that. Much like Chris Benoit represented it when he was going for the belt, and that type of thing. And Jeff Hardy represented it at one point, when he was going for the belt.
Benoit was a little bit different because he was a family man too. This was a good. I don't know that this was any bigger than the first time that Edge did it or the second time that CM Punk did it, but it's good. It's definitely very good. The
reaction was so long and so loud. Watching, I mean, that's why AJ broke down. I think she felt the moment. She felt the crowd. I mean, it was, and even backstage when he did his promo afterwards, he was saying he felt it. It felt very real, very true. Like, you know, he's earned it. Like I said, when Jay Briscoe wins the belt, the crowd is chanting, "You deserve it," to him. And he does.
Yeah.
And you know what? Dolph Ziggler deserves it. And he deserves to really get a chance with it now. And this is the same guy who, even to this point, he's getting pinned the night before by Daniel Bryan, who loses to Big E Langston, because they're much more concerned with protecting Big E Langston than Dolph Ziggler. You know, they see more in Dolph. They shouldn't. I mean, I actually think they should turn both of these guys babyface.
Well, they have. I look at.
But, you know, another thing, though, is Del Rio was perfect in his role, too.
Right. Oh, yeah, he was. He's wincing and pain, and when the music played, and he's like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
And, it was definitely good. And then you've got Ziggler and Del Rio to, you know, for a little bit to spin this off.
It's funny because on SmackDown, Swagger said, "You have me to thank." And then they were like, "Yeah, we'll get back in the back of the line, though. You lost." And then they kind of disappears. So,
We'll see you, Jack Swagger, on June 26th when you have your day in court.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in Mississippi, where the prosecution is going for the maximum sentence of apparently is 2 days in jail. And 2 days in jail what do they call it? A victim impact class.
Yeah.
Whatever, right? So But he's to the back of the line. You've got Jericho coming in to fight Ziggler, and with rinse and repeat.
The Fandango and Ziggler, or the Jericho thing was not over. I mean, they kind of, that feud must continue.
Right.
You know.
And so.
Just watching Taryn Terrell on my screen because she looks unbelievable.
Uh-huh. It's unbelievable.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, so good for Dolph Ziggler. It's definitely a new, face at the top of the world heavyweight picture, which is good.
I think. I mean, turn them both babyface and have AJ, manage a couple other people against Big E and by the way, I just noticed the new Knockouts referee appears to be ODB.
Or at least for this match.
At least for this match, yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know. I just...
Because the thing is the crowd wants... I mean, they're ready for Ziggler to be a babyface. And sure. He probably works better as a babyface, has more babyface charisma. So, I mean, why not do it?
Because they're idiots.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, I never thought of that.
Yeah, see? But, no, and they won't do it. And eventually, maybe they'll be forced into it. Again, but...
You don't think that reaction will at all...
No. No, this crowd...
The thing is,
this crowd does nothing.
That's probably true. The angle from the beginning, though, is very much designed, though, once again, to get over Alberto Del Rio as the number one baby face in the brand. I mean, this guy had just defended the belt, and here he was beaten down, hurting. And even then, he dramatically fought, and it took, you know, didn't give up right away. It's what they need to do. They needed to get, I mean, they misfired badly with Alberto Del Rio in this Border Wars thing here, because really, you don't want to highlight the fact. It's funny because, like, Bret Hart wins the world title in 1992, he won his first world championship.
With the WWE title.
Yeah, WWE championship. Yeah. He won his first title in 1992. It wasn't until 1997 that it was made a big deal that he was Canadian. And trust me, in Canada, he was a big deal from 92 to 96 as well. Like yes, he won his first title in Saskatoon, but it wasn't hammered home constantly that this guy's Canadian. Like they'd be hammering
home. Thanksgiving.
Like, yeah, exactly. They'd be hammering home that Alberto Del Rio is Mexican. I mean, if Alberto Del Rio wins the belt, defends it, and is just a babyface, and they don't reference his nationality consistently, he still gets over in Mexico because people would be proud of him because they know he's Mexican. And that's what this gets a chance to do, is get back to having Alberto Del Rio be a babyface, a strong babyface, without having to try and play up his – just let him be a babyface. And funny babyface, and not trying to play up the nationality thing too strong. Just let him be a babyface.
He might not get over in Mexico, though, because nobody watches WWE in Mexico.
Well, but the thinking is eventually – it's the same thing with Cain Velasquez in the UFC. Just his presence has helped to slowly grow kind of the visibility of the sport down there. And the idea of Del Rio growing it, helping to grow it there. Because people are...
Is a fallacy.
Actually, no, it's not. And by the way, when they talk about...
Alberto Del Rio is not Cain Velasquez. Alberto Del Rio will not raise the promotion or anything in Mexico.
No, hold on.
WWE, they know about Mexico. If anybody was going to do it, it was going to be Rey Mysterio
Perhaps Alberto Del Rio. Keep in mind, a very, very famous family down there. Keep in mind that Cain Velasquez is not the most gregarious or charismatic fellow. But it's all about... It's all about marketing. Yes, sir. I'm sorry to use words you don't understand. Of course, that's most of them.
I thought he was Mexican.
Anyways, he's not the most – it's all about marketing. And the same thing when you say nobody watches in Mexico, that's bullshit.
Okay, it's all about marketing. That's going to help your point.
That's bullshit on a stick too. I mean, there was a point there where the WWE was simply overtaken. I'm not sure what's happened in the last year, but one year ago, WWE had far surpassed many of the local promotions as far as television ratings. In fact, the WWE, the reason they're so desperate for a Mexican star is they feel it's a growing market.
In America. Because in fucking California, there's more Mexicans than there are fucking Americans. That's where it's a growing market. Ain't no fucking growing market where there are gangs shooting people up and there's a fucking peso. No money there, and nobody's watching it because people don't come out of their house, and wrestling just is not popular in Mexico. And Alberto Del Rio is not the motherfucker that's going to do that.
I am not so sure on that. You know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to look into it a little bit. We'll talk about it next week because I'm not 100% sure you're correct on that.
Oh, you're going to do research, are you?
Uh-huh.
I look forward to this conversation in a month when you get around to that. What's next on the docket after your bullshit about not knowing anything about Mexicans? Let's talk about Alberto Del Rio being awesome and how he's Mexican savior. Did he come down from the mountain?
What the hell are you talking about?
I think, you know what? I had a Dorito chip with Alberto that looked like Alberto Del Rio.
Really?
I did.
It wasn't Jesus?
Hmm? Oh, I listened to you. I thought they were the same person.
They're not the same person. I'm not saying that. You're an idiot. Blow shit out of proportion.
What's next? Oh, okay. Let's have some good times, because I've got something here for us. Something we haven't done in a little while.
We're not
going to put
Undertaker and Team Hell No in the Shield.
Okay. What about them?
What'd you think?
I think that Team Hell No is going to defend the tag titles against the Shield.
Mm-hmm. And Undertaker?
No. Undertaker was just there. On SmackDown, it was Triple H that the Shield went after, that Hell No came in and defended. So Undertaker is going to go over to Europe and do that one match, but it's Taker going away. At first on Raw, I had thought, oh, maybe they're going to do a six-man, right? And that makes sense for Taker to only have to work a little bit less or whatever, right? So in which case, I had named them the Dazzling Brothers of Destruction. But it looks like now to me is that it's just
like the Brothers of Dazzling Destruction.
That could be. I could do that. You know, and they could wrestle bears. But I think that it's just going to be two of them, whoever, Rollins and Ambrose against.
You don't think it's extreme rules? It's going to be a six. I do think it's going to be a six man, depending on, with The Rock being out, and we had heard The Rock was going to be at Extreme Rules, but apparently that wasn't going to happen.
It was advertised, I think, just in terms of the local advertising to sell tickets.
Well, I don't think it's necessarily sell tickets. I think it's largely to not kind of stooge off with the direction they're going with the WrestleMania match.
No, I think it's to sell tickets.
Yeah, a little bit. It's all about money.
But, it's all about
money. Well, it all being about money. Now, Brock Lesnar is pretty much said to be on the Extreme Rules. Now, they pulled his what they were going to do with him on Raw. He's not necessarily going to be there next week. I think if he gets pulled, because they're limiting his dates and trying to figure out what to do with him next, because kind of his direction has changed due to what's happened with The Rock, then in order to continue to make Extreme Rules kind of a big event, I definitely could see The Undertaker having a rare appearance there. So I think we'll kind of see what happens here. I think that's kind of what they're laying the grounds for. Or could be Triple H having a rare appearance as well too. But I think that's kind of what, you know.
Well, I have an idea for Brock at Extreme Rules anyway.
What's that?
Is a Kimura display. I think that would be good. That's buys.
Why don't you just play the last 5 minutes of his match against Undertaker? I'm sorry, 15.
Or 15,
Triple H.
Yeah. Because I don't want to throw up. But I think it'll be a tag. I think it'll just be a straight tag. I don't see. I mean, you could be right that Undertaker makes his rare appearance, but
it depends. Because they got to make money. They want to make Extreme Rules a big event. That's quite obvious. I think they do, because they're trying to play off the momentum. Off the momentum of this creator over WrestleMania, and they want to try.
Then why have it 6 weeks later?
I don't know. How many weeks later was it last year?
Like, it was in the same month.
Was it?
Yeah, it was like April 1st and April 30th or something.
I don't know. I don't know why. I don't know what the pay-per-view schedules are.
Oh, really?
No, I don't know.
Is there anything you do know? Oh, you know that Alberto Del Rio is a Mexican savior.
I never said that.
Oh, no?
No.
What did you use? Deity? I don't remember what word.
I know that Addy is a Canadian asshole.
Right. I was in 2012. I was. But I think that you might see Undertaker. I don't think you will. I think you'll just see a regular WWE show. And, maybe Brock. I mean, again, you do have a little bit of time with that 6 weeks. So if you are going to do something with Brock and, insert whoever you want here, you've got some time to give a one-off Brock appearance, right? So, I mean, it could be Brock and Taker. They could hotshot that, thinking that Taker's not going to have that much time left to go. You know, you do it now instead
of. I'm pretty sure you're going to see him Undertaker's last match next year at WrestleMania. Do you think that they would put in the night before, put him in the Hall of Fame?
Undertaker? No, I think you wait the next year.
Do you? Because they did do that with Ric Flair, right? So the precedent is set. And because they're going to need a headliner for next year, it should be Randy Savage.
Or the Ultimate Warrior is talk now. The early front runner right now is the Ultimate Warrior.
It could happen. I don't think it will, but it should be Randy Savage. Regardless, it should be Randy Savage.
It should.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course, there's talk about NWO, but that's never going to happen because you can't induct NWO as long as Hulk Hogan's not around.
No, that's right. That's right. And as long as, I mean, who knows? Scott Hall's getting out of surgery today, I guess, or getting out of hospital from his surgery. So who knows? Jake the Snake. Saw some stuff from Jake the Snake from Kayfabe Commentaries, our friends there. Looks fantastic. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, for an old wrestler, I mean, he looks a lot better.
Late 50s.
Yeah, I mean,
about the same age as DDP.
Yes, and we have DDP to thank for that, though. Really, you do. I mean, and it probably at this point is at least prolonged, if not, you know, if it keeps up, saved Jake the Snake Roberts' life. And you do have DDP to thank for that. So.
I don't know about that, but no, that's good, though.
You have DDP to thank for it.
You do have DDP to thank for it. I'm just not so sure Snake saved Jake's life, but because we thought this guy was going to die 10 years ago.
Well, he is the Keith Richards of professional wrestling.
Exactly.
But yeah, but I mean, hey, it's definitely a good thing. So
yeah. Well, I mean, it's not just about being clean and being in shape. It's also about you know, being a person that people would want to, or being a person that he wishes he could be, because so far he's spent most of his life not being that. And so, I mean, you say it's a good thing, but I mean, if he just goes out and lives longer and is a complete douche to everybody, it's not going to matter.
That's true.
Part of the 12 steps is making reparations. And so hopefully he's going to be doing that as well.
Reparations? Does that mean cookies?
So anything else you got to talk about there?
I want some cookies.
Me too.
Did you see the Hall of Fame?
No.
No.
I'm not going to watch it. I'm not going to watch it until I have a chance to watch the full unedited version.
Which is on pay-per-view on WWE.com tomorrow, Friday, is the full, I don't know if it's unedited, obviously, but it's as unedited as you're going to get. I watched the 75-minute special that was on.
See if that pay-per-view is going to be available on any of our local stations. Of course, the here in Canada, your cable provider did have the TNA pay-per-view. My cable provider did not bother.
That's
true. We haven't heard anything about buys for that yet, have we?
Well, it just happened on Friday.
Yeah, well, you just kind of have some idea sometimes. You may have an idea of WrestleMania a couple of days later, and of course it does look to have done very, very well.
What does it look like it's done? I didn't hear anything.
Just that the early feedback is up from last year.
What about in Mexico?
Up there, too, because of Alberto Del Rio.
Alberto Del Rio, right.
Yeah. Big, big Mexican star.
Deity, even.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You want to hear the Hulk Hogan bullshit of the week?
No, not if it's coming from you.
Hmm? Okay. What else you got?
Nothing.
Okay. In the meantime, and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk
Wrestling. At least do the plugs, douchebag.
Hmm? Moe's mother.
Why do I fall into that every week?
Same reason I fall into your mother every week.
So anyways, what's the Hulk Hogan? Give me a Hulk Hogan bullshit. What the hell?
Okay, Hulk Hogan's bullshit of the week. Week. Is that he was on a radio show a couple, I don't know, like the last week. And Hogan was talking about how he played in the 1966.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
Little League World Series.
Well, he was a star pitcher.
He was their star pitcher, but they pitched him so much, he got tired in the semifinals, gave up a grand slam, and his team lost.
Yeah.
For the finals. There was no team from Florida in the Little League World Series that year.
Yeah. So apparently what he did was he went on this this radio program. Last time he was on it off air, he told this bullshit to these guys. So they thought it was such a great story. They're like, oh, you got to tell it, you got to tell it on the air next time. He was a little hesitant because he knew it was bullshit. But eventually, because he'd been caught, he,
Yes.
What a douchebag. I've seen nothing about the I am seeing, unfortunately, nothing about the Hall of Fame. But, I mean, it'll be on the DVD. It'll be out there.
This is true.
It'll be on the DVD, or it'll be on. It'll be available online in other ways. And, I mean, I could always consider even paying WWE for it, though. How much? How much are we looking at?
I don't even know what the price is, to be quite honest. Yeah. So that's going to be good. It'll be on. To me, the highlight watching this special was when Mick Foley said, "You know, the one thing I never did in my career, I never beat Chris Jericho." And Jericho's sitting in the front row. He's looking right up at Foley. He's like, "Never, never." And then he's like, "Oh man, I never did." And then Jericho runs up on stage, and they do like a finger poke of doom type thing, where Jericho like lies down, and Foley's about to drop the elbow on Jericho, and he's like, "I don't have a ref." So CM Punk runs up on the stage and acts as the ref, and Foley pins Jericho, and Punk catches the 1-2-3, and tremendous fun to be had by all.
I heard about that, and I do want to see it, and I will, because it's 3 hours. It's $7.99. So that's actually
$7.99.
Very good deal. You can get it on WWE.com, on the WWE mobile app, Xbox Live, and on Samsung Smart TVs. So
nice.
So that's cool. I'll get it on the Xbox Live there.
Yeah, that'll be cool. Yeah, I mean, so let's see here. I wanted to other notes, one stemming from WrestleMania, and just a follow-up on our WrestleMania post-show, where it turned out that I was right. CM Punk injured his elbow and worsened his knee injury from that that table spot with the Undertaker. So one that's another tick in the that was stupid column. Nice thing I liked about Raw, though, is that he is going to be on next week. You know, you don't have to. You didn't need him.
No, you basically. Didn't need him. You didn't
and
need
now,
him.
And now you've got him for next week,
yeah,
right?
So absolutely.
I did like that. Anybody that would listen over WrestleMania weekend, Maria Kanellis was telling them that her and Mike Bennett are WWE bound.
Well, actually, she was saying she wants to go back to the WWE, and she hopes Mike Bennett is also done with her because she's done with ROH, and hoping that Mike Bennett will be joining her.
Yes, and
so more specifically. So
should be, yeah.
So I doubt she'll be back, and he might get a shot at developmental.
Yes, he will become a regular on NXT.
Yeah, and will he ever get to the main roster? Yeah.
Probably.
Maybe not. I don't know.
He's got a decent enough look compared to everybody else down there. So
yeah, it's decent enough. But you know what? He's not exactly ROH's best guy. I don't even know if he's ROH's best prospect. So, yeah.
Yeah, but we'll see. Wanted to talk about a 7 year, I believe it is now, WrestleMania streak.
Mm-hmm.
Because we had talked leading up to it about how I went back and looked at this, and we talked a little bit about how, you know, when should The Undertaker retire?
Mm-hmm.
And when is it time for The Undertaker to give up or give it up, hang him up? And now with the CM Punk match being the best match on WrestleMania, I can go back 7 years And in each one of those past seven WrestleManias since 2007, The Undertaker has been in the best match on the card.
Not last year.
Yeah, last year against Triple H?
No, hell no.
What was a better match? What was a better match than that?
Cena Rock was better. I'd have to go back here. Let me go. Okay, WrestleMania 28. Because I was not high on that match from last year. So.
And the year before that, the Triple H match was the best match. Then you had the two Shawn Michaels matches in the previous 2 years. It was the best match on the show. You had the main event against Edge. That was the best match on the show there in 2008. And then you had that surprise match that was the best match on the show against Batista the year before.
That's probably true, yeah.
7 years in a row. Okay, you can throw the one out then if you want and say that he's got 6 out of 7 in his
That's still remarkable, yeah.
But that is, I mean...
To me, that's more impressive than...
That's the legacy of it, right?
Yeah, no, that's more impressive than... and actually, I think we could even go back further than that, technically. Let's go back. 27, you say... 27, it was definitely was, and then he had the two Shawn Michaels, which is 26 and 25. So that went... WrestleMania 24? Who was it?
So what did he do?
Pardon me?
24 was Edge. Then 22 was Batista, or 23 rather was Batista.
Mm-hmm.
And then 22, I don't know, was Orton.
Looking
maybe
here at 24 to see if there was anybody with a better match that I could think of. I think you can make a strong case that the Money in the Bank ladder match that year, the CM Punk one, was better.
I don't think so, but.
I think you can make a strong case for that. In some ways, I enjoyed the Floyd Mayweather one more.
Can he do that?
Some people would probably say the Shawn Michaels defeating Ric Flair match.
No, I
found it disappointing, but for a lot of people, that was a 4-star match. I did not think so either.
Yeah.
But
the people that can't count to 4 think that that's a 4-star match.
Well, that match has a really highly inflated reputation. But again, that's almost one of those things where it's like people are judging what they want it to be instead of what it was. Yeah. And I do get the feeling live it was probably a great match of those people that were there live. And if you weren't there live, I don't think it was nearly as strong.
You know what else wasn't a great match? Hogan Andre.
Yeah, no shit. Exactly.
I mean, same thing. And he had that Batista.
Batista
and
match was easily the best match that night. Better than John Cena and Shawn Michaels for sure. So what, WrestleMania 22, who did he have?
I don't know. I'm thinking Orton, maybe.
Because that was a very strong match, too. So let's just look back here.
But I think you had Eddie and Ray on that one, didn't you?
You might have. Let me just take a look here. That's the one where John Cena defeated Triple H in the main event. That was a good main event.
CM Punk's debut.
No, Undertaker beat Mark Henry. So that does that certainly does not count.
So the streak is ended.
Yeah, definitely. Edge defeated Mick Foley. That was actually the best match on that show.
Oh, yes, that's right.
And RVD, that's actually a strong WrestleMania. I'm looking at RVD winning the Money in the Bank was on that show.
Is that Shawn and Kurt then?
Pardon me?
Was Shawn and Kurt on that?
No, that must have been the
year before.
Then. Yeah, Shawn Michaels defeated Vince McMahon, though, which was actually really cool. Even the Mickie James Trish Stratus was, good stuff. And the Rey Mysterio, Randy Orton, Kurt Angle, despite being cut, was strong for what it was there. So this was a really, really strong show.
Eddie was cheering for them all the way in hell.
Even the if you'll remember, this is where we had Big Show and Kane defeating Carlito and Chris Masters.
Oh my God, that was awful! And you know what? They had a match on Raw that I thought was really good.
I know.
So I had high hopes.
And the feud had actually been pretty cool. And then that. That's interesting. So it must have been the year earlier. Must have been, where we had Shawn and I guess Shawn and Orton, Orton and
Taker,
but also would have had Shawn and Kurt at the same year then.
Right, and then you would have 20, which would have been Kane, right? So, I mean, but the last 7 years of the streak have definitely been the highlights.
Oh, yeah, that's what is even more remarkable. Every year we're going, he can't do it again. He's getting that much older. And then he goes out there and has, just tremendous matches.
Yeah.
Oh, but, oh my God! Now, if you are a comic book fan, Chris Daniels has on the best shirt I've ever seen in my life.
Oh yeah.
There's an artist who's actually he's actually born in England but raised here in Calgary. Went on to become one of the biggest guys in the history of the business.
Is his name Goldust?
His name is John Byrne. And he did X.
Yeah, Bishop.
He did X-Men and Fantastic Four and Superman and all this stuff. And Chris Daniels has a shirt on that says "I'm a John Byrne guy," which is just about the with the Wolverine on it. I'm a nice. John Byrne. That's actually one of the greatest shirts I've seen. It's hilarious.
So has he switched his character up to be homosexual?
Well, he is also wearing, and if you look at him, he's also wearing that scarf. But no, it's great. That's a hilarious shirt. I'm a John Byrne guy. That's nice. Oh, hey, look, it's an inside joke. But trust me, those of us are, it's funny. It's funny. And I'm looking back at this stuff like WrestleMania 21 here, Rey Mysterio defeating Eddie Guerrero, Edge winning the ladder match over Jericho, mm-hmm. Benjamin, Benoit, and Christian, with Tyson, Tonko, and Kane. Undertaker right. defeating Randy Orton, Trish Stratus defeating Christy Hemme, Angle and Shawn Michaels, Akebono, John Cena defeating Bradshaw, and Batista defeating Triple H. Honest to God, this is so much better than what we got. Was this a 4-hour show back then?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's just much better. Like, the amount of matches there that you go are three and three quarters or higher is...
But you know what would have been better if we had gotten the with the Tons of Funk against the Team Road Scholars match.
Got it the next night and nobody gave a shit.
Oh, that was such a great match.
The same year they had the Forrest Gump and Braveheart and Basic Instinct stuff too. So I mean, they also had one of the greatest build-ups ever.
You can't handle the truth.
Nice. Yeah. Who knew I'd be pining for WrestleMania 21?
I kind of did at one point.
Because WrestleMania 20 was not that good except for the main event.
And the crowd in the...
the crowd in that. But, I mean, the build-up wasn't good. And it wasn't... The product wasn't good directly coming out of it either.
Would you have Eddie and Angle, I guess, there? No, it wasn't. It definitely wasn't. But you did come off of, with Backlash, you had the Foley-Orton match, which was great.
Yeah, I had the one great match, yeah. But as a general rule, that was it. That was enough to keep me watching. I mean, if there was always one or two angles, which was enough to make me tune in, because the show would be, 2 hours long, and you'd have 20 minutes worth of greatness and an hour and 40 minutes worth of, I mean, not just average stuff. I mean, utter and complete shit.
Yeah. Well, how about this Raw, though? I mean, did this Raw do that? I mean, I've got Dolph Ziggler dialed in as the World Heavyweight Champion, so I'll watch Raw.
I enjoyed of this probably two plus hours of the 3-hour show.
Did you really?
Yeah, no, I thought it was a really, really good show. I really had a lot of fun.
I mean, I thought it was a good show, too. I'm just trying to remember all the stuff that was. A lot of it was the crowd in that Orton match, too.
But again, let's just look at this. Let me just go over the SmackDown spoilers here real quick. You tell me if there's anything here that makes you interested.
Nope.
WWE Tag Team Champions Kane and Daniel Bryan defeat the Primetime Players, so I guess that will not happen.
Oh, I can't wait to see that match. Finally, they're going to fight.
Yeah. Shield does a promo. IC champion Wade Barrett beats Santino.
Nope. Shield promo, sure.
Backstage segment with Randy Orton, Sheamus, and the GMs to discuss Big Show.
Nope.
Bellas and Tamina Snuka.
Nope.
Beat Divas champion Caitlyn and the Funkadactyls. Triple H promo is interrupted by 3MB and the Shield. Shield attack 3MB. After Hunter.
I'll see that.
Yeah.
And Shield is good.
And the word was coming out of the tapings that it was a strong show. Sure. But so far, that's the first thing that interests me as well. There's a segment of Daniel Bryan trying to convince Hunter for a group hug. And Vince. Yeah, and Vince came out saying they're taking too long. And Hunter says that Vince is the one who needs the hug. And then Vince fake coming to the ring. Then he walked out and laughed. And then Hunter and Kane hugged and Bryan jumped on them. And that will never see the air.
And you know what? They recreated the Yeti on Hogan.
Oh, did they?
With Kane, yeah.
Nice. Nice. Let me see. There's backstage segment with Big Show and Booker T. Randy Orton and Sheamus beat Big Show in a handicap match when Show walks out. Kofi Kingston defeats Antonio Cesaro. Hopefully that's actually kicking off a feud. I could watch those guys go at it as far as, you know, just... Yeah, I mean, as far as decent undercard matches.
Whatever.
Fandango comes out for the main event, and World Heavyweight Champion Dolph Ziggler beats Chris Jericho. Jericho's beat down by Big E and Langston and Fandango to close the taping. Is Chris Jericho stick around or not?
I don't know. I assume he is to finish this shit out with Fandango, I guess.
Yeah,
I mean, it won't be around in the summer. I mean, May 19th.
Well, I mean, but there's a beatdown segment, which could be an out. That's why I was asking.
Well, whatever. May 19th is when Kane's movie comes out, and that's also when the pay-per-view is. And Jericho is going to be gone for the summer, at least, on the tour. So, I mean, who knows?
I hope he sticks around.
I think he's
around through May 27th. You know, it'd be nice for him to come here. City he used to live in for Raw.
Yes, yes, that would be good. And hopefully he can come to Mick Foley's comedy show a few
that
days later.
That would be
later
good,
and,
too.
And get pinned. But I think, I estimate, again, watching SmackDown as I do on the PVR, I'm giving it 35 minutes for me to watch. 35 to 45
minutes. Yeah, sure sounds like it, listening to that. And yet, you know, like I say, the word was it was a good show, so.
It didn't sound like a horrible show. It just didn't sound like anything happened.
Yeah.
So, but I'll watch Raw on Monday and we'll see what, you know. It's got me interested enough to watch Raw on Monday.
Okay. Is there anything else that's worth talking about here?
My penis?
No, worth talking about.
Oh.
That would be a short conversation.
Your mom's penis.
A little one. My mom's penis?
Mm-hmm.
You're the one who fucks her. Makes a lot of sense.
A lot.
Let's see.
I got nothing else here. What's happening on Impact?
Kurt Angle, looking 700 years old, just cuts a promo.
Nice.
Seriously, the highlight of this show so far, I mean, did appear to be bad attitude, confronting AJ Styles in the ring. You know, I have to go back and actually listen to it, but I'm sure Christopher Daniels was awesome on the mic. And, the AJ stuff is being pulled off well. May not be an original storyline, but it's being performed well.
Well, what, he's a Tim Barnes guy?
Tim Barnes?
You said that Christopher
John
Daniels
Byrne.
John Byrne what?
Jimmy Crack Corn?
I want Olympic gold. I want Olympic gold. One Olympic gold.
All right, but I think we're just about done here then, aren't we? You got anything else to talk about?
I don't think there's anything else stemming out this. I mean, Raw after Mania, we've got really nothing set yet for the Extreme Rules pay-per-view, looking like you said, maybe a three-way dance with Cena, Henry, and the Ryback Acne, mm-hmm. and probably a rematch, the rubber match between Miz and Wade Barrett.
Yeah.
Possibility of another Fandango Jericho match, I guess, but and Shield and Hell No in some form, with or without Taker or Hunter or someone that way, looks to be kind of the top milling, and probably an Alberto Del Rio Dolph Ziggler rematch, right?
Most likely, yeah.
So I really think that, what's it called, Payback is the June pay per view. Is that the one?
I think Payback? It's Payback, yeah.
Yeah, I think come Payback.
You know, actually, WWE, they didn't have Alberto Del Rio on that spoilers actually from SmackDown that I saw there. That's actually,
no, but
surprised.
To open the show, Dolph Ziggler opened the show and Big E Langston. He mocked Ricardo. So, yeah. But I do think that if you get a consistent at these pay per views, if you're getting consistent babyface reaction for Dolph Ziggler at the Extreme Rules, and then again at the Payback, then that might start to turn some heads to say we may have to turn this guy. But not until then.
Well, like I say, I mean, I think obviously, I'm not even sure. I hope he holds it a long time. But if he holds it past, I don't expect Extreme Rules him to lose it. But if he holds it past Payback without Del Rio getting it back, they're desperate for Del Rio to be a top babyface. Without that happening, I'll be very surprised.
We'll see. I mean, and you know, you talk about guys that, you know, sometimes you don't necessarily need a belt. And if you're a Mexican deity, do you really need the belt?
No, you can walk on water.
See? Exactly.
You know, water exactly. You wouldn't drink, but still.
No, that's right. It's Corona, actually. You'll walk on Corona.
Walk on. Yeah, because James Storen had a shirt that said, save water, drink beer.
See? That's actually smart advice.
All right.
Hydrates them.
All right. I've really had enough talking to you.
I wanted to talk about we're on iTunes. I want to talk about we're on Stitcher. I want to talk about we're on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeTalkWrestling. I also did want to mention and indicate and tell everybody that it's ADDIE@WeTalkWrestling.com for the email if you've got some
next,
things.
Let's make, unless something really, really big happens on this this next Raw and whatever, let's make the majority of next show a Twitter questions and email questions, because we got a shitload that we've been putting off here forever because of WrestleMania. So let's make that next one. So if you have any more questions or any more topics or anything like that, next week is the show when we're going to get to them. So hurry up and get them in there, and if it's good enough, we'll bump something else. But we got so many we're going to cull through. The other thing I want to say is, I do just want to ask, is there any chance that any sort of angle happens with Jeff Hardy versus Bully Ray, or does Bully Ray just win a 3-star plus match in the main event?
I think Bully Ray just wins here, to set up a Sting as his Slammiversary opponent, right?
Okay, makes sense to me. Should be a good match, though, at the end of Impact.
Yeah, so, but I mean, and the fact is Impact's on the right road now. They have Chavo and Hernandez as their tag team champions to help to really get them some inroads into Mexico.
Actually, honest to God, though, that is why they're doing it. And that's no bullshit. I mean, I don't know about it being Mexico, but much like WWE, TNA really, really does see the Mexican demographic as one that they're very desperate to try and grab a portion of. I can understand that.
I can understand it as well, because it makes sense as a tag team champion. But I'm looking at, as well as I was going to mention, our website of WeTalkWrestling.com, where Mo had, just before WrestleMania, put up his latest blog.
No, actually, I have two blogs that I've written, but I haven't that I've drafted, but haven't put up.
Oh,
So I should hopefully get those up this weekend.
That's going to be excellent. Thank you for dropping your computer. That is going to be
excellent. My computer. I just moved it to the left a little bit. An earthquake, it's because I used my penis to do it.
Oh, is that what that was? I thought you stood up. But also, I want. So yeah, we'll look forward to. You said you have two blogs, so your SummerSlam and Bound for Glory previews.
I don't do previews; those are lame. That's a lazy man's effort. Lazy man writing to do those. Anybody can do those.
Absolutely, but not as well as Addy. So nobody's lazier. WeTalkWrestling.com is the website, so go there and love it. That is going to do it. Do you have anything else you'd like to add?
No, we're all you see.
All right. So in the meantime, and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.
Hey, if you were to sing about banging my mom to Dolph Ziggler's song, what would it sound like?
I'm here to bang your mom. I'm here to bang your mom. Oh, yeah!